It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Hello and welcome to Cannabis Talk 101. My name is Blue. Alongside of me is the world famous Joe. And wait a second, the Pot Brothers and Joe Grande are not here today. But we have a fantastic show for you guys today. Listen, I want to tell you guys something real quick before we hop into our special guest. It's Christmas time, and there's a lot of people out there shopping, and, you know, cannabis gifts are a thing now. And so if you're out there and you're looking for gifts and you don't know what to get somebody, you might want to just stop into your local smoke shop like Smoke & Go USA, or you might just want to stop at, you know, a dispensary and pick them up an edible, because I really think that it might go a long way. And if it's somebody new, don't hit them with a whammy and something that they can't handle. Make sure you give them something that's calm and simple, something that's going to be, you know, worthy of just, trying it for the first time. Also, a big gift I think this year is going to be is CBD. Obviously, we're biased because we're in the cannabis industry, but you can go for the ugly t-shirt or you can get them a nice pre-roll. I mean, the pre-roll sounds better to me. So if you're going to get me a gift, please go ahead and get me something cannabis related. And don't forget, if you want to call us up, it's 1-800-420-1980 if you want to leave us a message. And we are giving away products every single week from now to Christmas. So the first caller that calls in and says Smoke & Go USA Cannabis Talk 101 sent me, on the 1-800-420-1980, we're going to give away a free grinder. That's right, guys. You're going to get a free grinder. Go ahead and leave that message. And if you've won once before, you cannot win again. And, for my buddy Manny out there that's over at Dr. Green Thumb. So we have a fantastic show for you guys today. And if you want to follow us on Instagram, it's Cannabis Talk 101. It's pot_brothers_at_law. And you can catch Mr. Joe Grande at Joe Grande 52. And you can also catch Mark and Craig Washman at The Was Law. So, listen, I want to bring in this fantastic young lady, Sade. She's the author of Hemp Can Change the World, the cookbook, right? How are you doing, young lady?
Doing pretty good.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. So tell us about, you know, Hemp Can Change the World. I mean, the first cookbook printed on hemp paper, if I'm not mistaken, and the first book printed on over 100 years?
It's one of the first books printed on hemp.
Ever.
In a really long time. Yeah.
In a very long time. Tell me about your book and what does, well, first of all, tell me your background in cannabis and are you a chef or?
Yeah. I mean, the first time I cooked with cannabis was a really long time ago, and we were just making brownies, and then they turned it like more like into like of a psychedelic experience than just like smoking ganja.
Right.
Had that experience a long time ago. And then for the past couple of decades, I've had a relationship with cannabis, my own relationship with cannabis, you know, as medicine, spirituality, all these different things. And then, I have a master's in anthropology. So I'm a cultural anthropologist by training, and sustainable development was like a part of my background. And then, in 2014, I wanted to get into a cannabis space in Colorado, and we were playing with the idea really of opening a dispensary.
Sure.
And it was so cost prohibitive. It was like almost like $750,000 then. And we were like, we weren't doing that then. And so somebody was like, hey, someone's making some hemp coffee. And I had a product line before that I started in Boulder, like a vegan, like dips and spreads. And someone was like, you should go check this out. Someone's making hemp coffee. And I was like, what? Yeah. What does that even mean?
Yeah.
Right. So we went to this farm and it was so horrible. And we're like, that's the worst farm we've ever seen in our whole lives. And we're like, we're going to become hemp farmers. Wow. And then in 2015, started a little hemp farm and started growing hemp and living with cannabis, like on a daily basis and having that experience. And as a chef and a baker, and then I started, had that opportunity. And back then it was, the way they've criminalized nature was like, they literally wanted us to do like a harvest report every time, cut a leaf and make a juice. It was bullshit. So anyways,
It became more work than fun, if you will.
Yeah, and just also like fuck them. That's ridiculous.
Sure.
So yeah, broke the law as much as possible, juicing cannabis, eating cannabis, messing around with the seeds, starting to really dive down the rabbit hole of just cooking with like non-THC cannabis.
You know,
in terms of like in hemp. And that was like the impetus for the cookbook. Started back then, and then in 2017, you know, I was like, I really want to do that, this project, and then been working on it pretty hard this last year and the last couple years. And then my ego wanted like a really big bougie cookbook, you know, like with like my amazing Instagram pictures. Sure. And all the good stuff of shoddy.
Yeah.
But then I found out that like the publishing industry is very toxic.
Sure.
In fact, it's like one of the top five toxic industries on planet Earth. And then I was like, shit, now I know that. I can't not know. Someone said that about fracking. And so that's how I felt. And then it turned into more of like a call to action and like an environmental thing with the paper. And to do it on hemp paper.
Sure. That, you know, I commend you for doing it on hemp paper. Did that cost you a lot more? I mean, I'm sure in today's day and age, right? I mean, you know, hemp isn't as accessible as it was back in the day, which is why we believe it was legalized, right? But coming in, I mean, illegal at the, why they'd be created illegal, because it was going to be cheaper than cotton to produce actual paper. But going into that, you know, hemp is expensive, right? So, I mean, how much did it cost you to produce those books?
Well, and I don't want to correct you, but I'm going to correct you.
Please do.
Because I'm a nerd. And it's not that hemp was more accessible necessarily in terms of the paper, because the paper is like a lot of work.
Sure.
It's a lot of work still now with equipment, and it's still not where it needs to be, which is why it's more expensive, right? So that's where, like, I'm really into conscious capitalism and like the triple bottom line, people, planet, profit, man. And so when we're doing that and we really, really want to walk the talk, then we need to demand these kinds of products from people so that the prices will come down. And we need to support hemp paper as an industry to be able to make it more cost effective. But even like self-proclaimed leaders in the industry who print on hemp or like go do it on recycled paper. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And they're like, it's too expensive. And they were going to charge me this like criminal price, like
really?
Sissy cuff shit. Like back in the day, like what? You want to charge me what? That's crazy. Hemp's never, no one's going to use hemp paper if it's like that, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, just navigating all of that became really, really important.
Well, you know, I think it is important to actually spotlight that for a second, because, you know, we don't, I mean, I don't even know where to get hemp paper right now. Right. I mean, it's not just at your local store, or maybe it is, and I just haven't looked for it. But I mean, I know that, you know, there's hemp clothing that should be produced right now, and it's a better, more durable than cotton. You know, there's so many different, there's rope that could be made that's a lot stronger than, you know, other ropes that are out there if it was used with hemp. So, I mean, the industry, and I was talking to on a previous show, I was saying, listen, you know, I don't think people realize the impact that cannabis, hemp, and this plant is going to really bring once the jobs all really pick up and start to progress. Because right now we don't have the progression, so we have people still, you know, flirting with the idea, you know. So talk to me about, you were saying something about smoothies though, right? Because that intrigues me, right? I want to hear about a smoothie. You're creating smoothies out of hemp. Now, are those THC derived or, you know, just CBD and THC? I mean, talk to me about how that worked for you.
Well, you can, so there's a chapter in my book on like high vibe drinks.
Uh-huh.
You know, and there's only one smoothie in my whole cookbook, because this back in the day and still now to me, like the smoothie is like really the easiest thing to do to be able to get some hemp in your diet is like make a smoothie all day long. You can, there's no reason why we can't just do that.
Right.
It's a really simple thing to do. So I wanted to really go beyond that as a chef. And so a lot of the recipes in here are like things that you would never expect to have hemp in there.
Right.
So the smoothie like, you know, there is one smoothie and it's Manipura Chakra smoothie.
What is it?
Which is,
say it again.
It's the Manipura Chakra.
Manipura Chakra.
It's your third chakra and it's orange. Actually second, and it's orange and it's in there. So it has like different Ayurvedic herbs and cannabis four ways, like hemp seed oil, the protein powder that has hemp in it. The hemp powder that I like has CBD in it. And then you could also use like a full spectrum extract.
Wow.
Full spectrum extract of your choice in there.
Very nice.
You could do that every day and that'd be amazing for like your vitality and to feel good.
Now, do you actually, when you take one of these drinks, does it give you an energy boost? How does it get, what does it do for you?
Well, I just think that it has lots of good ingredients to include other herbs,
sure,
like, and Ayurvedic spices. So, I think it's a high vibe drink. That's why it's in that chapter. So it's like, you know, especially now with like COVID coexistence, like one of the best things that we can do, like we can show up for ourselves as much as possible by doing our best to have like good chi,
yeah,
like our prana, right? And yeah. So to me, when you're having like ginger and turmeric and hemp and you made your own hemp milk for your smoothie and you're adding cannabis in these different forms and you're feeding your endocannabinoid system.
Absolutely.
And you're eating this high vibe, like of course you're gonna feel good.
Sure.
That's the whole point.
You know, there's a lot of fiber, if I'm not mistaken, right? I mean, so the it should help you with your your situation. You know, let's talk about some of the other recipes in your book, right? I mean, how many different recipes should we expect to see in your book?
There's over 60.
Over 60. Okay. Do you have a good steak in there? What do you got? What do you add steak?
There's no steaks. The whole book is plant-based. It's vegan.
All vegan. So okay.
There's no animal products or anything from an animal in the book at all.
Are you a complete vegan?
Not always, no.
No, you cheat?
Yeah. No, I don't cheat. I just eat. I eat what I want. I don't like to like be defined by, you know what I'm saying?
A name.
I eat what I eat, but all my work stuff is all plant-based and I commit to that always.
Let's go.
For work and everything I do to out in the world is all vegan.
What's your favorite recipe in the book?
Well, it's pretty hard to have one favorite recipe.
When you have 60 of them, huh?
I can have two, like a sweet and a savory. I could do that.
Right.
So sweet would be hemp strawberry rhubarb crumble.
Right.
That's in there.
That sounds
good.
That
is delicious.
That sounds amazing.
And it's super good holiday time in the skillet.
Are you sending?
Your nice dream or your hemp cream, whatever you like for ice cream.
Sure.
And then for the savory, it's so hard to choose, but I'm going to choose tabbouleh.
Tabbouleh. What is tabbouleh?
Yeah, I'm Middle Eastern girl and I love like meze and hummus and tabbouleh and all the good things and that those are in there.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So is this your first book?
First book.
Awesome. And how long did it take you to write it?
Over 3 years.
Did you write it all yourself?
I wrote it all myself.
Congratulations. You know, I wrote a book and you know, I didn't even attempt to write it by myself just because I'm too ADD and I bounce around too much. But it took me, you know, it's about 6 months. But, you know, it was very difficult because, you know, just putting the outline, the table of contents together was the first task. I think if you start there, right? But once you actually start building out that book and you start reading things and then it doesn't articulate the way you really want it sometimes. So it's just like you want to change it and then you start changing it. And from having a ghostwriter write the book with me, you know, it was a difficult task. You know, it's not, how many pages is this book?
This is like I think almost 130.
130 pages?
Yeah, I think like 128. Don't quote me on it.
Yeah, I think mine was like,
it's around there.
Yeah, I think I was like at 86 or something like that. It wasn't very big mine, and it was a hardback or soft.
Mine.
Yeah.
Well, it's hemp. Remember?
No,
it's one of the check. So it's gonna be like this.
Gotcha. Okay, so
it's a micro book. It's 5x7 basically, and it's all on hemp paper and the hemp cover and everything in here.
Everything's all hemp. Everything.
Everything.
That's fantastic.
Everything. And it's coming out tomorrow. They're getting here tomorrow.
Really? Let me just give you a round of applause for that. You know, I'll tell you, it's a difficult task. You know, I don't think a lot of people understand what it takes to sit back and write a book, you know? And so when you tell me 3 years and I ask you, do you write it yourself? You say, yes, I'm going, it would have probably took me five, you know? It's not an easy task to sit down and write a book and write them, you know, and then have to be able to read it, articulate it. You know, did you have a someone spell check it for you, or did you just beast up and do it yourself? I mean, you know,
we got the spell check.
You did?
Yes, we did. We did the spell check.
Yeah.
And it was professionally edited. It's been edited again and again, and it's been through a lot to get to where it is now with and the recipes and which recipes we're going to make it and making the recipes. And
sure.
Yeah. It's definitely been, one of my most enjoyable gigs and like the most demanding.
Right. Okay. So, you know, one last thing, you know, I want to ask you before we go to break is, you know, do you see yourself writing another book?
I do. I'm already working on another book.
You do?
But
it's a
secret.
Is it? Well, there it is, guys. It's Cannabis Talk 101 with Sade. When we come back, is it Sade? Sade, am I saying it right? Sade?
No.
It's Sade?
Sade. Sade.
You know, that's my slang. I'm like, what's up, Sade? We'll be right back. It's Cannabis Talk 101. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. And joining us now on the show is Mr. Mark Washerman. Hey, Mark.
Hey, man. I made it.
You made it. The court did not take you under, huh?
I'm going to take them under. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, this COVID has really messed up court system. It's true.
You know, it's a difference for all of us, man. A lot of us are working from home, and there's so much going on. It's the Christmas season. We should be out there shopping and dropping. I think everybody's trying to do the online shopping thing nowadays, and it's changed. But we have Shadi on the author of the Hemp Can Change the World, right? Now, is it Hemp Can Change the World or Hemp Change the World?
Hemp Can Change the World.
Hemp Can, because they wrote it wrong here on my script, so I got Hemp Change the World. So if I said it wrong twice, there it is, guys. It's Hemp Can Change the World.
That's blue, and being blue. Hemp can change the world.
Oh, yeah. Hemp That's can change the world. So you know, going back into it, you know, and again, I commend you for having the ability to sit down and write a book and really getting it out. And so it comes in tomorrow. And let's talk about distribution for this book, right? What are your plans for distribution? How do you plan on getting it out? Obviously, you know, working with us and pushing it through different shows and consciously, you know, trying to get it into different stores. But do you have a distribution company that you're working with for this project?
We don't have a distribution company.
So you're just all self-promotion, self-distribution, everything.
Right now, yes. That was my choice to do it that way, because first, I didn't want to be censored at all by a publishing company. And first was the environmental impact, which we discussed earlier. Second was I didn't want to be censored by a publishing company at all. And third was really doing that hemp paper when most people only give a shit about their bottom line and they're not thinking about conscious capitalism, people, planet, profit. And so that was another reason that we basically made it all up, put it all together the way we want it to
be. Sure. Now, did you?
We is me and my team.
Yeah,
my little team.
Of course. Yeah, of course. No, so you know, one of the things that I think is very powerful is that you're actually using hemp, and again, I really believe in that, because again, you're creating jobs for the people that are in your little team that you say, and it actually. It's something special. Even if it costs more money for someone else to purchase it, I think it's worth the environmental respect for it. I mean, you know, you're probably going to get a lot further with that. Now, as far as distribution goes, what is your plan for it though? How do you plan on getting it out to the world? How does our listener go buy it? Is it up on your website? Is all at home or?
Yeah, right now everybody can get the book by going to hempcanchangetheworld.com. and going to the store and buying the hemp version. Those are our limited edition print. And then there's also a PDF version. So we're doing a print now, and then we wouldn't be doing a print again until our next print is for 420. So if anybody wants their book on hemp, they should order one. And I also wanted to add that it's pretty important to know that this is like the first carbon neutral book project. So we are basically, we are keeping super detailed track of the carbon that we're creating through the project. And then we're offsetting the carbon by buying these cook stoves in Uganda for these women, for these mommies. And by doing that, so we figure out in tons, T-O-N-N-E-S, how much carbon our project creates, the printing, the hemp paper, the shipping, the flying, all of that, that gets a cost. And then we offset that cost, A, by buying those cook stoves, which removes toxic kerosene from the atmosphere, number one, and number two, replaces it with a non-toxic way for them to cook food, which doesn't create that carbon also. That's what we're doing.
You know, Joe's going to hear this, you know, and he's going to, what is carbon neutral?
She's talking about a carbon footprint, her carbon footprint, correct?
Yeah. So we're basically everything that we do that uses carbon, which is pretty much almost every aspect of business, right? Like for this book, right? For this book created carbon by what? The printing, the production of the paper, the printing, the shipping it from LA to Colorado, that all made a carbon, added carbon to the atmosphere, right?
Right.
So then we will get a cost on that. And it's not like an exact science. You figure out, you know, like you do the best that you can, but we're working with this organization called cooleffect.org. And then we offset that carbon by saying, hey, look, okay, we sold X amount of books, let's say. In order to offset the carbon, we're going to purchase 1,000 of these cook stoves for these women in Uganda. So we're going to take the old shitty, horrible kerosene cook stove out of the atmosphere.
Gotcha.
And then we're going to add this healthier stove that doesn't create those same toxins and pollutants and as much carbon. And that's what it means to make that carbon neutral. So it's like right here. It's balancing instead of here, which is how almost all capitalism operates. And that's why, you know, we're having a climate crisis.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's a brilliant and a noble thing to do. A lot of people don't give a shit, you know, and it's unfortunate. And so, you know, like we kind of came to the conclusion that like the hemp industry, cannabis, you know, farmers in general typically care. And it kind of sucks because sometimes it's everything that we care about is just outsourced and brought in by masses. And there's just so much pollution that goes with it. So there's no actual accountability for those that are creating that kind of a footprint, which is that, you know, the carbon that you're talking about, because they're, you know, there's people that go out and plant trees, right? They basically say for every, book we sell, we plant a tree. That way we can, you know, help offset the carbon or, you know, or the footprint that you're creating. I believe in that method because it can't lose, right? You're doing something noble. And where did you say it was going to? What country?
Uganda.
Why Uganda? What are you from Uganda or?
Well, we're all from Africa, but no, I'm not from Uganda. But I was saying earlier is my background is in cultural anthropology. And so that's one of the reasons that I really do what I do is like, I mean, like, that's why I got into sustainable development. That's my master's degree was on sustainable development in Nepal. And so there are certain places on planet Earth that are like near and dear to my heart. And certainly Africa and certainly around food and being able to have the first step to food sovereignty is being able to cook your food in a way that won't kill you and your baby that's like hanging on your back. So the underdog indigenous people on planet Earth and women are like the people that I want to be able to help as much as possible. We're also going to be working on projects with sequestering carbon through with hemp farmers and adding that to our program. But this is the program that we started with, and that's why it's important to me.
Well done.
What are some good holiday dishes that holiday you would recommend?
Well, this one you missed, but it was my hemp strawberry rhubarb crumble. Mm. That's super delicious. There's an apple crumble in there. There's a whole dessert and baking chapter with lots of goodies.
I have a question. Is there anything for us Jews for Hanukkah, like, you know, potato pancakes and things like that, that we might have?
Yes, of course, because we're cousins, because I'm Persian. So there, but there is a Czech bramboraki, and that's the closest thing to a latke that's in the book. Because, and also, like, this really old piece of hemp was found in the Czech Republic, and I love people. I know some hemp Czech homies, and so I wanted to make a recipe like that. And yeah, it was interesting to make like a potato pancake without eggs because the book's vegan, but it's in there and it's pretty yummy.
Nice.
I'm gonna check that out.
So how does our team over here? Because you know what, I want to purchase one from you because I want to support your cause first of all. So you know that's. I'm in on that, and then I really want to make one of your dishes, you know. Like I'm sincere. Like I'm gonna buy your book to support you, and when did they go live?
They're live right now. Like right now, you can go to the website, and we're gonna start shipping books out on Monday.
Fantastic.
So some people did a pre-order, and so people pre-ordered and are waiting for their books, and so we'll be ready to go. It's all live right now and hempcanchangetheworld.com.
Do you have enough books for me? Do you have one for me, enough for me to order one now?
Yes. And then may I add one thing? They're also giving $1 per book to Last Prisoner Project.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. And then also I was going to say, I'm planning on leaving Colorado on an airplane in the spring and that COVID's going to be cool and we're going to get out for 420. So I hope that I just wanted to invite you gentlemen to come out to San Fran on 4/17/21 is when we're launching our book tour. And I'm doing a Hindu Kush farm to table experience in San Francisco. And 11% of that evening goes to Last Prisoner Project.
Very nice. And where is that going to be held at?
That's going to be held in the Bay Area.
Okay. You don't have an actual location yet?
It's just TBA.
Okay, cool. To be announced.
TBA, yo.
TBA, yo.
Mark your calendars.
Yeah, mark your calendars. And what was that website again?
Hempcanchangetheworld.com.
Nice. Now, did you guys have to deal with any like legal issues with that? Because I think, the name Hemp Can Rule the World, isn't that part of like the Jack Herrera, his movie or book or anything like that? Was there anything that you had to deal with on that? Or is that just not?
No, Jack said hemp can save the world.
Gotcha. And you,
nothing there.
Yeah, very nice.
No drama.
No,
avoid drama. I'm anti drama. I was trying to go drama free in 2020 and the rest of my fucking life.
Yeah, me too. So, you know, I find it great that, you know, you're a woman owned business. Obviously, you're the owner of the company. You know, you are caring about your carbon footprint. You're feeding people, right? You're donating time, you're giving back money. I mean, this is something that, you know, knowing that it's the Christmas season right now, that's awesome, but you're doing it all year round. It takes a lot to do that, you know, and I appreciate it from you. I know we haven't had a chance to really sit down and just, you know each other for years or nothing like that, but there's a lot of people that just don't have any time, or they have the time, they don't create any time to do what you're doing, and you're launching your platform around that, and I think that you're going to have something very special with that, so congratulations on that, young lady. You know,
thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
That's
really
awesome.
Really appreciate that.
All right, so it's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back with the high five with Shoddy. It's going down. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. My name is Blue, and Mark Wasserman has joined us, and we are going to do the high five with Shoddy, and this is my favorite part of the show. This is five questions that we ask our guest about their relationship with cannabis. Question number one, how old were you the first time you smoked and where did you get it from?
First time I smoked, I was 15 and I was in Fairfax, Virginia. And it was very taboo for first generation Persian people to smoke dope. And I got it from my homie's older brother.
Nice.
All righty. Question number two of the Cannabis Talk 101 High Five. Shoddy, what is your favorite way to use cannabis?
Smoking herb.
And what do you smoke it with? Like, do you use a bong?
Pipe.
A bong, a pipe?
Well, I'd love to smoke a joint. I love to smoke a joint, and I just found out some really sad stuff about the rolling papers I was always using, which I won't mention.
Really? There's some toxins in them or something? Mm-hmm. Oh, question number three of the high five was shoddy.
Hemp papers.
Hemp papers.
Yes, they have that thing.
Even the hemp papers do? Oh, no. Question number three of the high five. Craziest place you've ever used or smoked cannabis?
Craziest place I would say was in Tokyo.
Nice.
Because I went there in the late 90s and it's very, very illegal to smoke herb. And so it was really, really scary. And we were so happy too at the same time.
How was Tokyo?
Tokyo was amazing. I spent 1 month there.
Did you? Was it so?
I love it so much.
Really? And what happens to you if you get busted out there smoking?
I think you go to prison.
I
don't know the laws. Don't quote me. It's very, very, very strict.
I think you go to prison for life.
Or they I heard they shame you in public and they beat you with a stick. You know?
No, this is absolutely ludicrous.
Well, we don't do that here. We just have you answer these questions honestly. And we got Shoddy, author of Hemp Can Change the World Cookbook, question number four of the Cannabis Talk 101 High Five. What is your go-to munchies when you get high?
They're so boring. My go-to munchie is this frozen fruit that I like with like peaches and strawberries. Then I like to put a little hemp milk in there in my blender. And then then I like to whip it up. So it's like a ghetto ice cream, vegan ice cream. That's so good. And then I like to put shredded coconut in it and hemp seeds.
Wow.
Hemp hearts.
That's a dish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is a dish.
Sounds amazing.
No guilt.
Yeah, none at all.
None.
Sounds amazing. Question number five of the high five. If you could smoke with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be?
Bob.
Marley.
Of course.
Why?
Because I love Bob Marley so much. And I, before when I was in grad school, when I was going to grad school, was because I wanted to study like ethnomusicology. I wanted to get a PhD in that. And I was really into like forms of like music as a form of protest. And so I got really into Bob and Peter Tosh and learned a lot about Rastas and reggae music. And I just think that would be definitely way up there. Willie's on my list too. Willie's here right now. I need to smoke a joint with Willie.
You know, one of the
maybe I'll change it.
One of the things that we've said, you know, on our show, and a lot of people actually have Bob as the person they would smoke with that are alive, and is that had Bob Marley not produced the music he did in such the way that he did, cannabis may not be where it's at today. I mean, definitely influenced millions of people to smoke cannabis and know that it's not a hurtful, you know, product. I mean, this is something that, like, you know, we believe that he helped bring us to where we're at now. You know, and a lot of people don't understand that, you know, because they just, again, there's people coming into this market that aren't exactly in it for the goodwill, let's just say. They're in it to basically create dollars and cents, and they're keeping, you know, they don't care about their carbon footprints. They don't care about the things that you've decided to do. And again, you know, on break, I was telling you that I'm very thankful to have you on our show, because again, you're one of the few people that come on the show and has a purpose other than money. You know, 90% of the people on our show, and I love them to death, and I'm not throwing any shots at anybody, but they definitely don't have a purpose. And your purpose, you know, it'll go a long way. And I value that, because again, cannabis, I think, is bigger than a cash crop. You know, I come from an older school cannabis game. My dad was a grower and allegedly dealer. And, you know, he would always say, hey, I smoke to get high and have a little extra cash, but it's just to, you know, get our friends taken care of, you know. And you know, your project seems that you're, you know, you're giving away, you know, ovens, if I'm not mistaken. That was the ovens, right? Or cook stove.
We're offsetting carbon by purchasing ovens.
Correct. And you're putting them in places where people need them, and you're helping others. And your product's on hemp. It's all hemp. So, I mean, that's something that, again, it just doesn't happen that often. Most people, like I said, they're just, you know, tobacco, dip it in this, put it in that, spin it in that, and puff it in the air. And it's like, boom, and we're making all kinds of money. And it's like, damn, you know, and when you put it in perspective and we sit with you, it's kind of refreshing to have someone sit here in front of us and just say, hey, look, you know, I'm giving 11% to this, I'm donating to that, I'm adding to this. And it's just like, wow. And it's on hemp paper, you know, it makes a lot of sense. So, you know, anything else you want to share with our listeners before we let you out of here?
I would just say that hemp is the high vibe food that we've been waiting for, and there's a lot of ways to increase your vitality by eating more plants. And I'm just glad to connect with everybody through cannabis and give thanks to the goddess mother.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Now, we want to thank you, Shadi, for being on the show. Make sure you check her out at hempcanchangetheworld.com. Is that correct?
It is.
It's Shadi's on the show. And remember this, guys, if no one else loves you, we do.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.